She has no more cancer. Right, give the Lord the praise, that's for sure. What is your heart's desire, man? What, 100 men sitting here close? Different desires and different hearts. The book of Acts, chapter 13, verse 22 says, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. Jim George, our author, if you haven't picked up the book yet, says when he was a young boy, his folks were traveling to Colorado and were passing through Dodge City, Kansas, and stopped at the famous Boot Hill Cemetery. Anybody ever been there? You probably wouldn't forget it if you were there. He looked down the tombstone with an inscription that read, Here lies old Joe. He died with his boots on. At the end of the grave were two boots sticking out of the ground. I think most of us want to die that way, right? Finish strong with the boots on. Jim learned later that the inscription on the grave mark was called an epitaph, which is basically a short composition written as a tribute to a dead person. Our author also collected a few other tributes. For example, a Greek poet wrote this on the tomb of the Spartan heroes in 5th century BC. Go tell the Spartans, gentle passerby, that he obedient to the law will lie. Also written in memory of Shakespeare, he was not of an age, he was for all time. Our author also, having a bit of background in science, liked what he saw was written on a scientist's tombstone who died at the age of 85. The tombstone simply said, he died learning. Or how about the epitaph? I love this one. All dressed up and no place to go. Or remember, friend, when passing by, as you are now, so once was I. As I am now, soon you will be. Prepare for death and follow me. To which someone added, to follow you I'm not content until I know which way you went. A woman and her young son were walking through a cemetery here in Kokomo, and the young boy says, Mom, come over here. She said, what do you want? He said, there are two men in this grave. She says, what do you mean? He says, here lies a Christian attorney. Sorry, Corbin. My secretary's famous epitaph was very short. I told you I was sick. By the way, Billy Graham, a household name for many, many years, just turned 97 about 10 days ago. And here's what Billy Graham, probably could have more people in heaven because of his ministry over the last 97 years than anybody else in the world, simply wants this written on his tombstone. Here lies a man of integrity. Doesn't that say it all? Here lies a man of integrity. I would like my personal epitaph to be also short. Wise men still follow God. But the epitaph to me that's the most inspiring of all, and also the most perplexing or troubling, is found written in the Bible. It's a tribute to King David, one of the most famous people in the New Testament. Of David, here's what God writes. I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. Over in Acts 13, 22. Well, what can we learn from this man, David? The life of David makes a very fascinating character study. He was one of the great rags-to-riches stories in the Bible. He started out as a shepherd boy, but he ended up as a king. He became a great warrior and consolidated the tiny nation of Israel into a powerful kingdom that ruled a large part of the Middle East during the 10th century B.C. But David's greatest claim to fame, so to speak, is God's epitaph. I have found David to be a man after my own heart. He would do everything that I want him to do. Again, I find this statement rather troubling and perplexing. Why? Because God is declaring his approval of David's heart and his life. This is puzzling, guys, in light of the fact that David's actions were not always godly. Let's take a look at this checkered history. David was a warrior who shed much blood. David committed adultery with a woman named Bathsheba. David found out that he had gotten Bathsheba pregnant, and to solve this problem, he ordered her husband to be put up in the front lines where he was going to be killed, and he was. Number four, David had multiple wives. Number five, he's a negligent father, and his family was plagued. with strife and tragedy throughout their lives. Number six, David, contrary to the Lord's command, pridefully numbered his troops, resulting in 70,000 of his people dying in a plague. And yet God states, I have found David, a man after my own heart. How could God commend such a man with this kind of a background? Yes, David was a man with feet of clay, as all the rest of us in this room, who at times committed sins that most of us couldn't even think about. Yet over the long haul, David sought to be righteous, and his heart's desire was to do God's will. This was the kind of man that God was looking for. God doesn't expect perfection, as we can clearly see from the man David. With all that David had done wrong in his life, God could still look at his heart and say he was a man after his own heart. This, my brothers in Christ, is the grace of God. There's no other explanation. By his actions, David did not deserve God's blessing, but in his heart, he had the right desire, a longing to honor and please God. This leads me to a very, very important question. Hopefully, one that all of you can relate to. One that can lead to a lot of meaning and purpose and fulfillment in your lives as well. Do you want to be a man after God's own heart? Nobody else can answer for you, not even your wife, not even your parents. You have to answer that question yourself in the depths of your own heart. Or to put it another way, is your heart's desire to follow Jesus? Have you thought about that recently? Hopefully you have. And if you haven't, I hope as you leave this room in a few minutes that you'll have thought about your desires and whether or not they are to follow God. You may think that's unrealistic because we have a tendency to take three steps forward and two steps back in our spiritual walk with God. You may imagine that being a man after God's own heart is too lofty a goal. You may conclude that it's not possible because of some of your and my past actions. But you and I must never forget one thing. God looked at David's heart, and that's where God is going to look into your heart, and my heart as well. When it comes to becoming a man after God's own heart, we can count on the grace of God, a grace that enables us and strengthens us at all times. Then we can find encouragement in the life of another man. Some of you have never heard of him. Many of you know about him. His name is John Newton. He was born in 1725 and lived until age 82, until 1807. Your life, men, could not be any worse than the life of this man, John Newton. He was a rough, debauched slave trader who later described himself as a wretch. Those are his words, as a wretch who was lost and spiritually blind. But one day, nothing else but the grace of God used a fierce storm in his life to put fear into his heart, to put fear in this heart of this wicked slave merchant. According to his own testimony, that storm, along with his reading of the book, Imitation of Christ by Thomas A. Kempis, led him to a genuine conversion and brought a dramatic change in his heart and in his way of life. John Newton never ceased to marvel at God's grace, which had transformed him so completely. To express that marvelous grace, Newton wrote a hymn that you might recognize. If I could sing, I would sing it for you. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Shortly before he died, John Newton is quoted as saying in a loud voice during the message he was giving, my memory is almost gone, but I remember two things. Number one, I am a great sinner. Number two, God is a great Savior. That is the cry of a man after God's own heart. You see, God looked at John Newton's heart, just as he looked at David's. And my friends, that's where he's going to look in you and me, into the depths of our hearts. Let's get very serious for just a moment. I want to ask you some hard questions. Question number one, when God looks at your life, what does he see? He doesn't look for perfection. We've seen that already. Like David and John Newton, every person, everybody in this room, everybody in the universe has sinned. That's the bad news. But now for the good news. The only perfect man who ever walked the face of the earth was Jesus Christ, God's only Son. At Jesus' baptism, God the Father testified his feelings about his Son. There is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Matthew chapter 3, verse 7. But because Jesus was perfect and knew no sin, he was able to die for our sins, yours and mine, and pay the penalty of sin, or for sin, which is death. Because of what he did, we can be cleansed of sin and approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may find grace to help us in our times of need. Question number two. What does it mean to become a Christian? Briefly, becoming a Christian means as follows. Number one, looking to God and his grace, Ephesians chapter 4. Number two, repenting of and turning away from our sin. Number three, accepting God's gift of eternal life through his Son's death on our behalf. Yes, everyone in this room. And finally, receiving God's mercy and forgiveness and then living our lives by his grace. Question number three, what is your heart's desire? We looked at David's heart and his desire to follow God. We've looked at how John Newton came to recognize God's grace and how his heart was totally changed. What about your heart? Nobody can answer but you. Can God look into your heart today and say, I have found you to be a man after my heart who desires to do all of my will? Question mark. Question number four. These are the most important words I will say today. Also, the most important words I've ever said to anybody in my life. Have you received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Nobody else can answer for you. Perhaps some of you, if not many of you, have taken that step of faith and have received Christ as your Savior. If not, this is truly the first step toward becoming a man after God's own heart. When I took this step of faith 75 years ago, I've never been sorry. All other decisions in life have been went downhill after making the most important decision when I was 9 years of age. Please bow your heads with me. Many of you have not yet become a Christian. You can take this most important step in life to become a man after God's own heart by repeating this prayer silently in your heart at your seat. Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and I want to repent of my sins and turn and follow you. I believe that you died for my sins and rose again victorious over the power of sin and death, and I want to accept you as my personal Savior. Come into my life, Lord Jesus, and help me follow and obey you from this day forward. Amen. Men, if you prayed that prayer in a minute, share that with your table leader where you are seated so that we can begin to pray for you and assist you in your walk with God. Again, those words are the most important words anybody can ever say. I have accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. That will last not only in this life, but throughout eternity. My friend, if you are a believer, a Christian, a Christ follower, then this epitaph found in a graveyard in England could be written of you, and I hope it will be. I have sinned, I have repented, I have trusted, I have loved, I rest, I rise, I shall reign. Thanks, men, for listening.